glad his blood covers me this morning, that I know that I'm on my way to heaven. Amen. All my sins. Amen. And take your Bibles, if you would, and go to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Hadn't been that long ago. I guess it's not been in real recent, but I preached out of this passage, and I just feel led that this is where we ought to be. I don't think it's any news to you what's going on in the world. I think that everybody here, just let me kind of prepare you today. I'm liable to say something that's political. Amen. And so if you need to and you're on the radio and you want to turn it off, you might want to stay and just say, you believe what he said? But it's just a sad thing. I mean, we understand the book, and we're in 2 Thessalonians. And so as blood-bought believers, as the song said, we realize that the church at Thessalonica and the first book receives a letter from the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of God saying, I would not have you be ignorant, brethren. He doesn't want them to be ignorant of the fact that Jesus is coming again, not only for the living, but for the dead. And he wants to tell them that there's going to be a catching away of the body of Christ. And he's just trying to confirm the things that maybe when he was there, he didn't get to explain completely, but they just didn't understand what was happening with the rapture. He takes time to tell them that the dead are going to raise first, but they're not going to prevent them, that they're all going to go at one time. They got a little bit farther to go than the rest of us, and that we're going to be called out of this place in a quick way. Amen. In a twinkling of an eye, with a shout. Amen. And so again, when we get excited and we hear that, we have to understand that this second book of the second book written to the Thessalonican church is written, and he gives some details because that without a doubt, they knew what he was talking about, that this was the catching away of the church of God, that this was going to be the saved people coming out and checking out. Amen. But he's going to give them details of what's going to happen and how bad it's going to get in 2 Thessalonians, amen. And so here in chapter 2, my tongue is getting ahead of me, but here he's trying to express to them that these dark days were coming upon them. We see that everything's lining up. All the things that need to come into place for an antichrist to step forth, we see the economy running on wide open, heading in a direction that I don't think it can keep pace with. Propped up with fake money by a fake president. And again, I'm just going to tell you this morning that you can keep printing dollar bills, but after a while, they'll just be like Germany's bills. We'll be wheeling them around in a wheelbarrow and burning them to stay warm. We are headlong heading to a place that we don't want to go. Yeah, and I've said it before, and I'll say it again. You know, I know everybody's got an answer. Buy silver, buy gold. Try and eat that if you can. Amen. You can put it away, but the things that are going to be most precious are the things that take care and fuel the body when everything collapses. And the thing they're going to be looking to the Antichrist for is safety, peace, and food, because they're going to be starving to death according to the scripture. And we're pressing towards that time, but I never thought I'd see a time that they would prop up a person that had so little backbone, that he would pull out of a place so quickly that he would let people fall off of an airplane. That they couldn't even, again, the greatest military might on planet Earth would cut and run at the order of a president. Today, we are sitting in safety and peace in a free country, and other men and women who have been our ally for decades are being hung in the streets like a dog because of a president who doesn't have a backbone. And don't let anybody tell you it's because he loves the men in uniform. It's because this has been his plan all along. Not to allow this country to flourish, but to bring the countries of the world. Who in the world ever thought that we would trust? Listen, I heard out of his own mouth that he was trusting the Taliban to let Americans through checkpoints. I wouldn't trust a Taliban fighter with any of my children, let alone my mother-in-law. I'm just here to tell you, we've come to a sad day in the age that we are in and can see that we are turning over the world to unrighteousness, to work unseemly things in all kinds of places so that that region of the world, if listen, the things that, listen, it's got to be awful bad when the news media that propped this president up and helped him cheat every way that he could to get into the office. And I don't care what you, listen, we can talk at the back door if you want, but listen, you can't slice that cake anyway but come up with they cheated. So you come all the way through everything that we've come to this point, and now he, again, one of the first things he said he would do is open the gates and let the Muslims in. And I saw a picture this week of planes of Americans that were supposed to be flying over. They didn't look like Americans to me. There was no melting pot in that plane. Hey, folks, I'm here to tell you, we better be careful and realize the time that we're in. Let us not get lulled to sleep by prosperity in America today. Everything's good. More jobs than we can fill. You know, stay home if you want to. And the government will pay you. Man, it must be doing good, right? No, no, no. We see Bible prophecy being fulfilled. So as we see all these coming to fruition, we see that the nations that are around a little place that happens to be the apple of God's eye called Israel, as the armies of the world are given free rein to do what they want, not only to American citizens, but to the people that used to be our allies. And we realize I'm doing all I can do to restrain myself from calling him names that you probably wouldn't like. Hey, I'm here to tell you, what do you think? Who's next that we're going to cut and run on? If we won't defend people where we've got bases and we just let them have them, where we left millions, if not billions of dollars of equipment to the enemy and calling them our friends, we've worked out a deal with them. I don't know if you've ever read the Quran. I don't suggest it. I think you should read the Bible first. But after you've read the Bible through, if you read the Quran, those folks can lie to you all they want. That's not what my Bible says. A Christian is not ever given the position of an opportunity to lie to anybody, but a Muslim can lie to you to your face, and he's doing what his God wants him to do. Because his God is the devil. Hey, folks. 2 Thessalonians, amen. 2 Thessalonians, I want to read a lot of scripture today, and then I want to preach on the back end of all of it, but look at it with me, and I'll begin in verse number 1 of chapter number 2. He says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." He sets the context, all right? He's setting the context, and are gathering together unto him. Now, there are a lot of people that mix up this chapter and don't rightly divide the Word of God. But under inspiration, the writer of the book, who is God, took the penman and wrote just what he wanted. And so the context is the coming of Jesus Christ and our gathering unto him. All right? So don't place it anywhere but the rapture of the church. "That ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. And that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, whose opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or is it worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Now, see, we know that these things are working even in our time. They're coming into fruition. We can see all the nations coming to a place, and even our economies of the world coming to a place of collapse where they could put up a man. We've seen that now we have a way of in-chipping every soul that's on planet Earth in a quick pace. We can see that the governments of the world are already willing, because of a flu, to say you can't travel, you can't eat, you can't trade, you can't do anything without a shot. So again, what do you think they're going to do to you to make sure that you have the mark of the beast? They're going to give you some type of shot. Hey folks, if you can't see it all coming into play, if you can't see everything on the horizon, then you've put your blinders on and you don't want to see it. All these things coming in, and he says that there's something that has to be turned loose first. And he says, now ye know what withholdeth, that he might, verse 6 now, that he might be revealed in his time, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until, look at this, he be taken out of the way. Those two verses, chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, are speaking about the Holy Spirit of God, which withholdeth, listen, that's holding back the spirit of Antichrist even now. It is that, listen, the spirit of Antichrist is working and is hard at work to take over everything. But one day, when the Lord Jesus Christ appears and takes away the saved, he's not just in taking his church away, but the Holy Spirit is going with us. And when he is taken out, there will be nothing to hold back the spirit of Antichrist in this world. There'll be nothing to withhold him or to stop him from taking over and completely deceiving. And we see in the next few verses. Look at it with me. He says in verse 8, and then, after that's taken away, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming, look at this, is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Wow, lying wonders would bring him into power, would show his power. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. He's saying because these folks did not come to Christ in the appointed time, when God reached out to them time after time after time during the church age, they heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and they rejected the truth. Listen, Jesus wants everybody to be saved. If there's anybody on radio or on the internet or in the building today that's never received Christ because you've heard it and heard it and heard it and said, a more convenient day. At another time, you just have been kicking the can down the road. Listen, your time is almost up. The clock is spinning out of control towards what God said would always happen, and he's coming back for his own. I wouldn't kick the can much farther. I wouldn't wait another day. I wouldn't wait another moment. I would rush to a place where I could fall on my face before God and receive the truth that the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ paid for all the sins of the world, and that if I would just rest in his finished work, if I would trust him by faith, that he would save my never dying soul. I'm thankful for the day that I got saved, but listen, I preach and I preach and I preach to people, listen, that I believe sometimes we get lulled to sleep with all the things and the busyness of this life, when the truth is that the coming of the Lord is nigh. That if it was close in the 70s, then he's way closer than he was back then. If it was close in the 80s and everybody wanted to set a date, then he's closer than he was in the 80s. In the 90s, when my preacher stood up and I was just a teenager and I kept saying, hold off, Lord, I want to get married. Hold off, Lord, I want to have kids. Hold off, Lord, I want to serve you in my own life. Hey, if he was close then, when I was hearing it over and over again and I was asking God to give me a little bit more time, then he's closer than he ever has been. Now dial all that from 2000 to 2021, and the unthinkable things that have happened in the United States of America to bring to pass what the Bible has always said. and a flu bug that was engineered by the spirit of Antichrist to make the world fear like it's never feared before. And then he says here in verse number 11, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion. That means these that have rejected Jesus Christ, they're not going to be able to get saved after the rapture's happened. Those that have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, they can't turn to him because God's going to send strong delusion upon the world to believe a lie of the devil. That they should believe a lie, it says in verse 12, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You know, there are all kinds of groups that run to pray with political figures. There are all kinds of groups that are trying to reach in, and I don't think that's wrong. I think if we can go to the prisons, then we ought to be able to go to the politician. If we ought to go to the gutter, then we ought to go up to the places of the ivory palaces and those that prop themselves up on a pedestal and think that they're above everyone else. We ought to go to them and preach the gospel too. But from the highest pedestal to the lowest gutter, there will be people who thought that they were too good to bow the knee to Jesus Christ, to bow their head and their heart and receive him. And the Bible says that those people, not because they couldn't be saved, not because God didn't choose them or elect them to be saved, as many would have you believe, but because they rejected the Savior, the Son of the living God, Jesus Christ, because of their rejection, they will be damned to a devil's hell. I submit to you today, before I get preaching to the Christian, let me tell every lost man, woman, boy, and girl under the sound of my voice, today is the day of salvation. Stop your rejecting and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now I want you to jump on to the latter part of the chapter with me. And so if we know those things and we know those things are about to appear, that the spirit of Antichrist is working and all that is left to do is the catching away of the saints, if we are supposed to occupy till he comes and be preaching the gospel to those that are high up in office and to the gutter, how does the Christian live in the nasty now and now? That's what we've been preaching, folks. That's what we talked about last week. Where does the rubber meet the road for the Christian today? In verse 14, he says, whereunto he called you by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That means those of you that are saved, those of you that he's called, those that he's going to glorify one day. Hey, folks, he says, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold to the, look at this, traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or by epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which that hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. How are we going to live? How are we going to go through this Christian life? How are we going to be what we ought to be? Number one, we need to stand fast. I don't know about you, but I put some R's down. If you've ever been in a fight, standing fast when you've been standing for a long time. When you've been pulling, you ever get ready to pull? You ever done a tug of war? We do that at camp. We get ready. We've already had a good tug, and it seems like there's a little lull. You know what you do when you get, you reset your feet. Hey, I beg you, church, today, realize the time that we're in. Realize how close we are to going home, and reset your feet and stand fast upon the Word of God, upon the book, the blood, and the blessed hope. Don't let up. As soon, Jesus is coming soon. He's just around the corner. Set your feet. Reset your feet if you need to, and hold fast. Stand fast in the position that you always have. Don't give up on the things. The world is trying to get us to do everything. They're trying to mandate us to go their way. They're trying to mandate us. And listen, I just want to say they're cheating every way they can to have their way. So what do I do? Do I give up? No. I reset my feet and stand fast. Amen. he goes on and he says, "And how do I set my feet? What do I set my feet in? And holding the traditions which have been taught, that which ye have been taught, whether by word or by epistle." That means I reset my stance in the Word of God. I set myself back up in the things that my preacher has preached for 50 years. I reset my feet in what my church has always believed. I reset my feet in the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ, the faith once delivered to the saints. We could reset our feet and try to hold the Constitution. But that ain't never saved nobody. The Constitution was built up upon the Word of God. And if they're going to throw the Word of God out, they sure will throw out the Constitution. If God's Word wasn't good enough for them, men that God ordained to write a Constitution, it's not good enough for them either. Hey, folks, I'm here to tell you, how do I stand? Listen, go back to the old time way. The way that has always proven to be solid ground. A place that we could always take our stand and know for sure that when Jesus shows up, I'm going to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Amen. I don't want to go to the new way. I don't want to go to some way that's a halfway. I want to stand on the book. I want to stand on what God has for me. I believe in this day and age, as people, there are so many churches that are cutting and running on what they and holding the traditions. I'm thankful for staying in, but listen, we're not too far. I can't help but saying it. We're not too far down the road, folks. They're going to try to shut this place down. And Polk County tried and stayed the course and held out, and we were blessed as a church, but it's coming again. They ain't turned this thing loose yet. When they get done screaming at him about Afghanistan, they're going to set their focus right on again. And when the next election cycle comes around, if I'm still here and the deacons are still here and the church members are still here, if we're still running buses, they're going to come after us like they never have before. They are going to try to silence the church like never before. Even now, behind closed doors, you mark my words, even now, behind closed doors, they are engineering policies and provisions to stop us from being what we ought to be for Jesus Christ. And we need to stand fast and set our feet and not be moved from the traditions that we have a right as Americans and as Christians through the ages, when there was no right in their government, they stood anyway. And they were thrown to the lions. And they were burned at the stake. But they stood and held fast to the things that Jesus had told them to do. Folks, I'm here to tell you, the closer we get to the Antichrist being revealed, the closer it's going to get like the early days of Christianity. When they drug people in the streets, only in our day, it won't be lions, it'll be guillotines. Only in our day, it won't be burning us at the stake. They'll be taking our heads, because this world, there's only one way for it to come, and that is the marrying of the whore of Revelations and this group of Muslims that want to take the life of every Christian. You say, "Boy, that's very ominous, preacher." That's just the thick and the thin of it, folks. That's where we are. So what do? I set my feet. But what should I do next? Look at verse 16. "Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace." It's going to tell us here that we need to remember, listen, just realize what you got when you got saved. Just remember the everlasting consolation that you got when you got Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but when I thought about that consolation, it's a refreshing spirit, an alleviation of, if I could say this, misery and distress of mind. I remember the day that I got everlasting consolation, and I worried that I was going to go to a devil's hell. But this morning, I submit to you that since 15 years old, when I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, he gave me everlasting salvation, but also everlasting consolation. I haven't worried from that day till this. I've not had a worry in my mind. I put my faith and trust in him. I'm not trusting in me. I'm not trusting in my works. I'm not trusting in my baptism. I'm not trusting in what somebody else told me. I'm standing fast on the Word of God and in the finished work of Calvary. And today I can tell you that I have everlasting consolation. There's no distress of my soul. I can preach about how bad the world gets because I'm leaving this world one day. And my Jesus, just as He died for me, is returning for me. And He's going to take me home to be with Him. Hey, folks, we don't have to get poochy lip. We can have peace and smile with everlasting consolation and say, hey, you dirty old nasty world, if you want everlasting consolation, you can go with me if you'll receive Jesus too. My message is one of hope. Oh, it's always down. The world's going to end. It's going to be over. I could change the doctrine like every other church. We could go down the street of every other place that preaches that they're going to make the world so great that Jesus is going to come back and want to be a part of it. But that's false doctrine. That's replacement theology. That's a worrisome thing. Oh, well, it's not ready yet. Because it's all on me. No, I serve a God who came and died on Calvary and paid for my sin and paid for your sins and the sins of the entire world. It's not about my work. It's about His work. I'm still not resting in my work. I'm not going to pull myself up to heaven or pull Him down. He's coming back in a cloud to get me. He's coming back with a shout. He's going to take me out of this place, and I can't wait to go. Hey, Christian, get up on your high horse and tell everybody that you know that time is short and that Jesus is coming again. You know, I remember a day as a boy when every Christian couldn't wait to tell somebody else about Jesus Christ and His return. We've come to an age where more than ever the world is ignorant that Jesus is coming again. And they need to hear it preached to them over and over again, not just from the pulpits of America, but from the mouths of Christians who believe. I need to realize, and then I need to rest in what He's done for me. Look at verse 17. Comfort your hearts and establish in every good word and work. Comfort your hearts. How am I supposed to comfort my heart? Because I have everlasting consolation. Sometimes it's hard for me to balance. I love America. If we were attacked, I would defend her. If they'd have let me, I'd have served her in the military forces. Hey, can I just tell you today, listen, I love this country. But there's no comfort in saving this thing. There's no comfort in trying to get it all back on track. There's comfort in doing God's will and His work. There's comfort in realizing that I need to tell everybody I can tell. I've read this book from cover to cover, and nowhere in this book, I mean, I can try to twist the things and move it around, but the book in the New Testament focuses on the church, not America. And as much as I love this country, my comfort can only come as a Christian for defending my faith. I need to read the Constitution, but when I go up and before, I'm going to be comforted in heart because I'm defending my faith. Amen. I'm going to stand, and we're going to get involved in politics because they're going to try to infringe upon my faith. I'm going to stand and preach and tell them what the church is and whose it is and try to get the politicians to believe it. But there's no comfort in just trying to save a country because I'm a pilgrim passing through. I have another country. I have a place that's not made with these hands or any others, but made by God. Folks, we got to rest in the fact that we can comfort our hearts and realizing this ain't home. We're not losing a battle. What's going on? They're going to take over our country. Yeah, that's what the book says. We're going to be gone out of here and they're going to have it all. Yep. So why are you worried about it? Wash your boat once a week and go soul winning once a week. Amen? You're going to leave the boat to somebody, and it might be the Taliban, it looks like. Amen. Come on now. Everybody wants to move to Florida, including the Taliban. Hey, I'm just telling you, everybody's coming this way. What are we going to do? I'm going to be established. Lastly, I want to, if I could do this, refocus myself on every good word and work. You know, the blessing of being saved and knowing I'm on my way to heaven is I know I can give a good word. You know, before I was saved, I couldn't give a good word, not like I can now. I could tell people about Jesus, but I had no experience of him, had no testimony where I could testify of what he could do in me. But boy, once I got saved, I had a good word to tell everybody else. Jesus saves. And I'm telling you, firsthand account that Jesus saves, Jesus saves. But I want to do more than give a good word. I want to leave a good work. I want to leave a work behind that when I stand before the righteous judge, that the word I gave others was the pure word of God. I want that work that I did. Listen, I don't know. This morning, we're going to have Flood the Bus Sunday. Y'all pray for me. They're going to flood me out there. But the work, I got on the bus today, and there's nothing like standing up. And I stood up and sang with my bus kids. 43 seats on my bus, and I was disappointed because there was one empty when I pulled in the parking lot. Hey, folks, I don't know about you, but the work of God, I can tell you, what are you going to do this week, preacher? I'm going to find somebody else to fill that seat on my bus that didn't come this week. Hey, look around the auditorium. You say, I don't have a bus route. Well, you come to church, make this your bus. You see an empty seat, find somebody and have them in it next Sunday. Have them come sit with you. Sometimes when we think about all the things that would be important in this life, the most important things is realizing Jesus is coming again. Right. He's coming back for his church. Wouldn't it be great for all of us to be able to go out from the same place here in Haines City? For us to be in church on a Sunday morning and to hear the shout of God and to go out from God's house together as believers. Wouldn't it be great to hear the shout when the last one walked down the aisle and professed the name of Jesus Christ? Here, if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, this invitation is an invitation to you to come and receive him as your Savior. It's an invitation when we begin the singing and folks stand to their feet, you can do what they did in the past and step out and walk down an aisle and come and meet me in the front and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you're here and you've never been baptized, scripturally baptized, why don't you come and join a good local church and get a good word and a good work started in your life? Hey, if you're here and you're Christian and you're just, I didn't realize how late a day it was, an hour, come and pray and ask God to help you finish a good word and a good work in your life. Let's stand to our feet. The musicians are coming. If you'd bow your head and close your eyes with me just before Brother Bert sings. If you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, but you'd slip your hand up and say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not saved. I want you to pray for me, preacher. I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Is there one like that? Is there anybody like that? I don't see any hands in the building this morning. But why don't you step out and come? Even if you couldn't raise your hand, just step out as Brother Bert sings.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come.
Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Some have come. Maybe you need to come. Maybe you've been here and attending our church for a long time, and you want to join by baptism, but you just haven't had an opportunity to step out, we'd love for you to come this morning. The waters of the baptismal pool have been turned on and are warm and ready. We'd love for you to be a member of our church this morning by baptism. If you know you're saved and on your way to heaven, but just haven't stepped out and come, why don't you take this opportunity to step out and come and join our church, as Brother Bert sings.
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God.
Let you be seated.